So, first of all, if you're listening to this, thank you very much. I guess our constant nagging and forcing you to come listen to our podcast work. Tanya, look, you're pretty influential. People are here and they're listening to us.
In case you were wondering, this is Tanya and Trisha, and we've come with our own podcast, Hypothetically Speaking, a series of self-delusion. If you're looking for your everyday, normal, by-the-book podcast, then well, you might be in for a different kind of treat. Here, we delve deeper into the unanswered questions or ideas that very often come to our mind, but we either don't have the time to further ponder upon them, or are so alone in resolving their conundra that we lose inclination. Here, we look at some of such unexplored perspectives and come up with theories on what their answers could be or how things would be different with or without them.
And since our first episode is released in June, what could be a better topic than pride? Without any further ado, let us start our first episode with a wonderful slam poetry.
Peers who go through this every day. Har ranji ki heer ho, ye zaruri nahi. Har rooh ka shareer ho, ye bhi zaruri nahi. It's neither solid, liquid, nor gas. Then what kind of phase do you exactly think they're in? Their actions are in doubt of confusion. They don't seek your validation. And for the last time, they aren't a living defamation, a defect in incarnation. For my friends who face the odd looks, the stares, the nasty whispers and glances.
Kehne ki ijazat nahi, tumhe abhivyakti ki azadi chahiye. Nazre churati aankhein nahi, tumhe apne wajood ka makam chahiye.
Let's make this world a better place, where they don't have to swallow their love, where nothing is tying them down, where they aren't told to fall out of love. For those who think they shouldn't be selected for anything, job, gene pool, apni takdeer likh sako, is kabil ho tum, par dooje ki udaan ko rokne ki ijazat tumhe kisne di? How can you say they're different from us when we call ourselves heterosexuals and hetero means different? Why are they a community and not in this community? Don't say you believe in hashtag pride and call your friend gay for wearing pink. Don't say you believe in hashtag pride and call your friend lesbian just because she doesn't like anybody. Say you believe in hashtag pride not because everybody around you does. Believe because you want to. Believe in hashtag pride without the hashtag because it isn't a trend. It's pride.
LGBTQIA is an umbrella term which comes under pride, where L stands for lesbian, G stands for gay, B stands for bisexual, T for transgender, Q for queer, I for intersex, and A is the latest addition signifying asexual. Asexual means the quality or characteristic of having no sexual feelings or desires.
Did you know that the first gay rights parade was in New York City in 1969 and that the planet Mercury is a symbol used by the transgendered community? But that aside, have you ever wondered what your life would be like if you were gay?
I mean, it's not really a sharp thought, but I guess our life would be a bit more difficult. Wait, does this sound homophobic? Don't worry if you've ever felt this way. This is a safe space, and not only for me or for Trisha, this is a safe space for all our amazing audience as well. We're always here to listen to you, although it's not entirely wrong. Being gay does come with its own share of challenges, but it wasn't always like that.
In ancient Egypt and across centuries in Polynesia and the Middle East, from ancient Mesopotamia to Persia, in ancient China and Japan, among natives in the Americas, including the Mayans and the Aztecs, in northern Italy during the Renaissance, And up until the 18th century, homosexual relationships have either been tolerated, accepted, expected, celebrated, or all of the above. According to research by the Gay and Lesbian Vaishnav Association, it was around 3102 BC during the Vedic Age that homosexuality or non-normative sexual identity was recognized as Tritiya Prakriti or the third nature.
Does that make you think when homophobia might have started?
Homophobia seemed to start off in the church during the High Middle Ages and it got even worse during the Renaissance. Some people revolted, but that didn't stop homophobia from migrating to other places. In 1776, being gay in any Puritan colony was declared illegal. It wasn't until the 20th century that progress had started. Even then, gay bars in the US were frequently raided by the police.
On the morning of June 28th, the people in one such bar, the Stonewall Inn, erupted in a series of spontaneous violent demonstrations by members of the gay community in response to a police raid that began in the early morning hours of the day. Patrons of the Stonewall, other village lesbian and gay bars, and neighborhood street people fought back when the police became violent, and this movement is considered as one of the most important events leading to the gay liberation movement and the modern fight for the LGBTQ rights in the United States.
This is also the reason why June is celebrated as Pride Month.
In December 2016, a few bars in New Delhi and Mumbai imposed a random ban on queer male-male couples on the occasion of the New Year's Eve. Mumbai-based activist Harish Iyer launched the hashtag GayWillSoon campaign against these homophobic decisions. Inspired by the film Lage Raho Munna Bhai, he and others sent roses to these bars, asking them to change their mindsets.
But did you know that despite these efforts, there are countries where it is still illegal to be gay? There are also countries where being gay is constitutionally allowed, but practicing it is considered a taboo. Imagine if the government took away your right to be yourself and people judged you for being you. Even in some armies, transgendered people are not permitted to serve openly yet.
People see the world in black and white without realizing that life is actually a beautiful harmony of colors. Colors of your race, caste, and now even your sexuality. So, how would you feel if you were a member of the LGBTQ in the C20th? Let us hear from our contemporary, Shrey Chadha. He was the head boy of the school and is currently preparing himself for college. An amazing dancer, excellent at academics, and most importantly, a very kind human at heart. Shrey would like to tell us his coming out story.
So, my coming out story goes like this. I started hanging out with a guy and I met him on an online app and I remember I wanted to keep it really hushed and I didn't want to tell anybody about it. So I did keep it hush, but while I was rehearsing, one of my friends had my phone and she saw my conversation with that guy and she kind of knew that I wanted to hide it from, you know, everybody, all my friends. So I remember five of us, it was a group of five of us, and four of them called me in the middle of my rehearsal and said that they wanted to talk to me about something. They told me how they saw my chats with the guy and all of us just started crying. There was no conversation as such. I started crying, my friends started crying. There were five of us in a circle in the middle of school. All of us were crying. And the reason, later on I got to know the reason was because they thought that I thought that they would exclude me from the group or ridicule me and they would do all those devastating things because I thought that they were homophobic. But they were crying because they were not like that and they were very much accepting, and the only reason why they cried was because they thought that I thought they were homophobic. And that's what hurt them. So that was my coming out story. But it gets even better because that was 10th grade. I entered 11th grade and I was starting to take up dancing very seriously outside of school as well. And I was training constantly, at least like I think about 20 hours every week I was training. And I still remember I had this conversation with my instructor, and she was seeing that I was a little disturbed during classes during one particular week. And she sat me down after one class and she said, "What's with you? There's something that you're hiding from me, or you're hiding it from yourself. You're not yourself in class. You're not dancing your heart out. There's something that you're not telling me." And I broke down in front of her. And I said that there's something that's holding me back from dancing my heart out, from dancing the way I want to. And partly the reason was because people have, throughout these years, told me and mocked me for the way I dance, because I am a feminine dancer. That's my genre. I'm a feminine dancer. And not just friends, but even family, everybody has mocked me through these years for the way I dance. And that's why I wanted to hold it back. Even though I had only begun coming out to friends, I wanted to hold that back. And I remember coming out to my instructor, I told her that I'm gay. And her reply was, "So what? I'm bisexual myself." And I was shocked. Because that was supposed to be normal, but I had come out to her and she came out to me. So that was something very new. I was really new to that world at that point of time. So that's what really got me going. And that's when I danced exactly the way I wanted to. There was no stopping then. I remember when I entered 11th grade, that's when I started coming out for real. That's when I started telling people without any fear. I did not care at that point of time. I remember I started wearing a nose ring to school, and I remember one of the teachers from school coming up to me and she said, "Is it allowed to wear what you're wearing on your nose?" I said, "Ma'am, haven't you seen about 70 to 80 girls wearing this in the corridor in front of you every day? If girls can wear it, then why can't I as a boy?" And she had no answer. I started wearing a nose ring. I came out to my teachers. I came out to my psychology teacher, to my sociology teacher, to my legal studies teacher. And the teachers were so supportive. All the humanities teachers were very supportive, and so were all my friends. All of my friends. Everybody was extremely supportive. I haven't really had familial support from the very beginning because my family has always been kind of homophobic. But the first person that I came out to in my family was my aunt, my mommy, if you want to call it in Hindi. So they live in Bangalore, my mama and mommy, they live in Bangalore with their dog. And I visit them every year. And I remember talking to her about my subjects, as to how everybody in the family was against me taking humanities, not taking commerce, not taking mathematics. And I remember all my elders telling me as to how that all the male members in the family, they've taken commerce. Why have you taken humanities? These are subjects that girls take up. You won't have a very bright future. They will not lead you to a very bright future. So I still remember all of them coming, you're putting pressure on me to change my subjects. And I rebelled. I rebelled and I did not change my subjects. Can't sexualize you can't sexualize streams, academic streams. They're gendering, they were gendering academic streams. You can't do that. That's horrendous. And I proved to them. I topped my midterms. I was chosen as the head boy of the school. The principal was so impressed by my academic results that she chose me as the head boy of the school. I topped my midterms. I topped my finals. And my family could not stop me. They couldn't do anything about it. If they couldn't express how proud they were of me, they couldn't ask me to change my subjects. At that time, they knew I was at the helm of affairs on the academic front in school. So that's what happened when it comes to academics. And I was also titled as the sass queen because that was who I really was. And that was the kind of person that I started to come up with that only after I was cool with myself, with my sexual orientation. So there's one thing that's very important, that's something that I realized, that it was only once I truly accepted myself, my sexual orientation, once I was cool and normal with it, is when I could actually believe that people around me are also cool and normal with it. So it was important for me to see things from a liberal perspective.
I'm sure your story will inspire a lot of others. But that makes me wonder, in a country like India, where even hushed conversations about queerness are met with harsh responses, how do you deal with a homophobic attitude?
Since childhood, I have also come across a lot of homophobic people, not just in the form of family. Not just my family has been homophobic, but a lot of friends have also been homophobic. They've made fun of the way I used to laugh, the way I used to talk, the way I used to walk, the fact that I danced in a certain way, the fact that I played certain kind of games, the fact that I spoke to certain kind of people. A lot of homophobic people, they've made fun of me that way, and they've taken advantage of how emotional as a child I was. So I remember a number of boys, they would, you know, make these statements about me. I remember whenever I used to cross them in the bus, they would be like, I'll just quote one of them. I remember one of this boy coming up to me and saying, "Oh Shrey, you're so gay," like, you know, to make it rhyme, whatever bullshit. But this is nothing. I've been beaten up as a kid because of the way I spoke, and I've had girls surrounding me and laughing at me because I laughed like a girl at that point of time. And there was absolutely nobody to support me because everybody thought in the same way. If they didn't mock me, then they would keep shut when others would mock me. They wouldn't be supportive. So I've only gained the courage to give it back to them through these years. So now, today, when I was in 11th or in 12th grade, when I was 18 years, 17 years old, it's today that the same people who used to mock me, who used to make fun of the way I was as a child, they are the ones who are damn supportive of me. They are the ones who will beat a person up if he or she says anything and says anything negative about my sexual orientation or anything about me as a person. It's the same people who are standing like pillars. So I'm really thankful, and that is where the fact that friends are very important for queer people. Friends, the support of peers is extremely important. And I feel that I've been privileged to have that support. I feel that I'm very lucky that I have had, even though it came at a later stage, but I feel very privileged that I did have that support during high school years, during my high school years. I'm really, really thankful for that, because, again, I can't even imagine. There are so many kids who haven't had that support. They've had their family who they've never had their family support, and alongside, even at school, they've been mocked. So I don't know how those people are able to cope up. I was able to cope up because I had support at my dance studio. Initially, my family wasn't supportive, but then I had 5 to 6 family members who were supportive, and I came out of them. I came out of my aunts and my uncles, and they were extremely supportive of it. And then I had the support of my teachers. So I have been blessed with support. That's what I believe. Especially if you take into account today's scenario where people are beating guys and girls to death for being homosexuals, for being queer. And it's so horrendous, it disgusts me, but it's extremely important, and it's a blessing. It's not about the importance, but it's about the luck. It's about being blessed to have support as a queer person during your high school years or during college years. So I feel that I've been very lucky that way. And when it comes to dealing with homophobic attitude, yes, I have had to deal with homophobic attitude. As a child, I wouldn't give it back. But as a teenager, I have definitely given it back. I have most definitely given it back, regardless of the fact that I had friends who were supportive. Regardless of that, I have stood there. If people did not have the guts, even if they felt in a certain way, even if they felt negatively about the way I am or the kind of person I am, they have not had the guts to come and say it to me in my face. So I'll be honest with you, I haven't faced a lot of homophobic attitude, but whatever I have faced, I have given it back. I really have. Because I believe that these years, my childhood years and my years and the years of my life as a teenager, they have turned me into a rebel. And I'm extremely proud of that.
Well, that's the kind of rebellion we surely need more of. And no matter how much the society tries to put you down, I think the most important thing to hold on to is that little faith in yourself, that belief in yourself. Lastly, if you had to say anything to other queer people who are trying to figure out their sexuality, what would it be?
I know that there are so many kids out there in high school or even younger kids who have to face things, who have to face homophobic attitudes on a daily basis everywhere. Whether it's school, whether it's extracurricular activities, whether it's at their home, from their families, they have to face that. And they have to mask their true emotions, and I can relate to it because I have masked my true emotions, my true self for a long time. So I can completely relate to those kids, but it's extremely important because everybody has been socialized in a different way and everybody knows their family circumstances. I today at this point know that I cannot come out to my parents as gay up until I am financially independent as an individual. Hence, it's important everybody out there who's living in a homophobic household to analyze the situation, to try and understand what kind of an attitude their parents or their siblings or their cousins or their family has towards homosexuality, and then take a step. So I believe that when you want to come out, who you want to come out to, at what point of time in life you want to come out to, it's totally up to you. It's your decision to take and nobody else's. It's your story to tell. So always, always make sure that you do that. There's one more thing lastly that I would want to share with you. This is something that I've realized when I've introspected after I came out to a lot of people. I still remember that, you know, my mom would be furious whenever she used to see me dance in a certain way. Or even in 10th, 11th and 12th. And, you know, whenever people used to come up to her and say that, you know, he's not very masculine, you should talk to him. I've been furious about those things, and I've fought with my parents as well. I've been a rebel, not just in school, but also at home. So I have fought with my parents when it comes to those things. But there's one thing that I would want to share with you all. Look, our parents have been socialized very differently from how we have. Very differently. So, anger, aggression is normal for you to feel that it's unfair on their part to not accept you in the blink of an eye. Is okay. It's okay if there's anguish. It's agonizing, I understand. But there's one thing that you need to understand. That the kind of era that they're coming from, the kind of socialization that they have gone through, if you want them to accept you in the blink of an eye, then you are asking them to come from step 0 straight up to step 100. And that's not how things work. It takes time. You need to be patient. And remember that people like Tanya and Trisha, who have started this podcast, people like me, and thousands of other people, thousands of organizations, all of us are always here if you want to talk. I am ready to provide my number to whoever wants to talk it out. You want to vent it? You must. Talk to me, talk to these girls, talk to your friends if they're supportive. But always talk it out. Don't ever keep it inside of you. Don't ever suppress whatever, you know, anger you have towards circumstances in life. Always vent it out. There's only one way to do it. Always remember that. And always remember that it's your story to tell.
Thank you, Shrey, for sharing such insightful details into your daily life and struggles. It was great to know how our mindset has changed so drastically in the past few years, how you accepted your feelings and came out to your family.
It's wonderful how everyone has accepted the changing social norms and how the beautiful colors of life have progressed from being scared to manifest to now intermixing with the existing colors and even repainting the chasmic voids of acceptance.
Just like Shrey, you can also come out with your stories and tell it to us if you want a patient ear or just someone to talk to.
There are many ways for you to support the Pride movement even during the pandemic. Join virtual Pride parades. We'll provide you with the links on our Instagram page. Support local businesses who support the LGBTQ. Educate people regarding considering themselves and their feelings first before caring about what the society will think. And most importantly, call out your friends and acquaintances who use homophobic slurs.
This brings us to the end of our first episode. Do not forget to follow our podcast on Spotify and listen to us on Apple Podcasts too.
Also, send in your voicemails to us through our Instagram page for the listener voicemail segment, along with the questions or theories you want us to discuss. You can reach out to us through our email ID too.